never leave home without a pocket copy of the United States Constitution, I always say, because you might just have to refer to it and point out to people their deficiencies and what they believe to be true. Most people can't name two or three of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the United States Constitution. Today we're going to Amendment number 11. I think the number of people that could cite what the 11th Amendment is about is somewhere below 1%. I think that's my fair guess, but I'm going to share it with you here. As our next guest joins us, Adam Mossoff, professor of law at George Mason's Antonin Scalia Law School, legal expert on the Federalist Society's Regulatory Transparency Project. Adam, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
And the reason we're here is because states are ripping people off under the 11th Amendment by infringing on their copyright agreements. In fact, the case that's going to go to the Supreme Court involves a photographer, Fred Allen, who documented the excavation of Blackbeard's famous pirate ship, the Queen Anne's Revenge. North Carolina, the state, used that, published his works, and said, we can do it and you can't do a thing about it. Let me read the 11th Amendment, if I may. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state. Basically, it says, I, from Michigan, can't sue the state government of Ohio or Indiana. Am I following that correctly?
Yes, Steve, you're following the text correctly, but the Supreme Court long ago, well over 100 years ago, kind of put a judicial gloss and interpretation of the 11th Amendment that gave states just broad, general sovereign immunity against all states or against all lawsuits.
So where are we then? Because the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, this guy, Frederick Allen, said, wait a second, you've infringed on me. But the Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals threw the case out saying the 11th Amendment makes North Carolina immune from him protecting his individual work, because that is his individual work. He created these videos of this excavation. He created this. And North Carolina used it for themselves to promote themselves and talk about themselves with no benefit to him whatsoever. So I find that to be wrong and egregious. I'm a guy who makes film. I'm a guy who does radio programs. I believe that the work product should be protected under copyright laws. So where are we?
Yeah, so it's a great question you posed. And, you know, what really makes this case really fascinating, too, is this case about copyright piracy by North Carolina involving a pirate. Blackbeard, right?
Yeah, nice.
I mean, you couldn't ask for a better set of facts for a dispute like this. But the really important provision in the Constitution is not the 11th Amendment here. That's of course, what North Carolina is claiming protection behind. But the really important provision in the Constitution that everyone happens to forget many times is under Article 1, the powers delegated to Congress in Section 8 is the specific power by the framers of our Constitution to secure copyright, an exclusive right to authors. And this is something very significant. This was their plan in the Federal Convention in 1787 to take copyright and patents and to provide federal protection for these rights to secure the very first time federal property rights, the only federal property rights that are secured. In fact, in the Constitution, before the Bill of Rights, what's called the Patent and Copyright Clause, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8, is the only place in the entire Constitution where you'll find the word right even used. So it's a really significant power. The founders understood what it meant and the importance of securing, as you said earlier, you know, the fruits of the creative labors of inventors and authors in copyrights and patents, and so that this had to be taken away from the states because the states were not only infringing them, but the states couldn't provide effective protection for them, and they had to be provided protection in the federal government, and this is exactly what the federal government has done since 1790. And they've passed as part of their copyright laws that states can be sued for copyright infringement. And so in passing that law under Article 1, they have properly established in the very text of the Constitution that states should be able to held liable for copyright infringement.
And I'm going to go ahead and, you know, as we hold class here, Professor.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and read that passage. I think it's important for people to understand. To promote, this is Article 1, Section 8. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. And, of course, I think that writings and discoveries, in my estimation of the world, would extend to photographs or video or the spoken word like I do here on this program every day, articulating genius points of view that you and I are working on right now. Right? And so my genius must be protected here every day.
Yeah.
And so it would seem to me that that would outweigh the 11th Amendment's protection of not allowing me to sue the state of Ohio under different circumstances, correct?
Yes, yes. I mean, and it's very clear. Legal scholars refer to this as the plan of the convention being the Constitutional Convention of 1787. It's very clear as a constitutional law matter that that Congress has this authority under its Article I powers to, you know, secure copyrights against all infringers, private and public. But even if one was a little concerned about the constitutional issue and, you know, thought that maybe states should be sovereign here, there's an additional kind of argument beyond just the constitutional argument, what we sometimes call policy argument, that also justifies holding North Carolina liable. And that is, under the copyright laws, states themselves can receive the benefits of copyright protections for the creative works of public officials.
Sure.
And states sue people for copyright infringement.
Well, here's the problem that North Carolina faces potentially. If the Supreme Court rules in favor of Frederick Allen, using photographs and video and things of that nature, each incident is really expensive. I mean, if you violate that, I mean, I've seen the numbers on this because I've operated in this arena. I can't cite the numbers to you, but I can tell you it's tens of thousands of dollars per occurrence, which could be construed to mean every time somebody clicked on that website and saw that video, that could be an occurrence. I mean, you could literally be talking about millions of dollars in damages to Frederick Allen if the Supreme Court rules the other way.
Well, potentially. I mean, they would have to determine if that's appropriate or not. But the really important thing to go back to this for a moment is that North Carolina, for instance, can claim copyright protection and sue people for copyright infringement. It does. All the states do. Texas does. But now they're turning around and saying, but you can't sue us. If we take your copyright, you can't sue us because we're immune. So essentially, this is state officials wanting, you know, to be essentially unaccountable and not being held liable for violating the very rights that they claim for themselves.
Yeah, I find it shocking that government would claim rights for themselves that are not allowed for the citizens. As I recall, Professor, the Constitution's all about my rights that are God-given and limiting government rights, not the other way around. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, the Constitution exactly is about specifically limiting the government exactly. This is
exactly.
One of the founders' great insights that the government needs to be limited to securing only the rights of life, liberty, and property under due process and equal protection of the laws. Exactly.
You got it. So anyhow, this case will be decided sometime June 2020. Very important case. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word, sir.
Well, again, this is a really important case about protecting the foundations of our creative industries and our creative economies and individuals such as yourself, Steve, who make possible our growing innovation economy and our flourishing society.
Adam Ossoff, greatly appreciate it. Adam is a professor of law at George Mason's Anthony and Scalia Law School, legal expert for the Federalist Society's Regulatory Transparency Project. You need a bigger business card. Thank you so much for being here. All right, there you have it. Good fun there. And you never leave home without your pocket constitution. I'm telling you, boys and girls, nobody else reads it, but you and I can. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
From the depths of winter to cookouts in summer, natural gas is your safe, reliable, affordable energy source. Because DTE buys gas in the summer when prices are low and stores it to keep prices affordable. And we upgrade and monitor the system 24/7, 365. So for all you do, natural gas is there for you. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE. At DTE, our number one priority is your safety. So DTE is constantly monitoring and inspecting our natural gas infrastructure to make sure it's safe. But if you do smell gas or hear hissing, leave the area immediately. Call 911 and then DTE at 800-947-5000. We will send someone right away to check it out. Please, if you suspect a gas leak, make the call. DTE.
You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't. But when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Maurer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up and it needed some work. I called Maurer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Maurer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.